Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, when you play your first game, man, when you're kicking off next year to start the season, as opposed to, man, I think Jerry Mack's going to be good. I'm going to wait and see, and then I'm going to think about buying season tickets. I do think there's some of that just in terms of the pop you get if you go mulling over. What I do. I think there's a lot of reasons to like Mack and Huff because they've proven right. with what they have, they exactly. can win. You know, you're again, I've continued to put it, steward of resources. Good
yep.
one.
Yep.
You need that at Memphis.
Yep.
But this gives you that and pow.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
like
does.
Hiring a
it
fire
does.
Emoji.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? That's what folks are going to say about this hire.
Yep.
ESPN's going to have this hire everywhere because it's Dan Mullen.
But you're paying for those fireworks now. You're paying a lot.
You're paying, yep. but my money's going up on the season ticket side off top, John. I'm looking at it right now. That money's going up because people are excited, and that's just the beginning.
Mm.
How many did you say you had out there watching New Mexico, whatever it was, versus
35,
UNLV?
35, 37. Yeah.
Don't let us be yeah. good.
And Memphis
Don't
would
let
get
us be
40
in that
to 45.
CFP. That thing's going to grow, John, and they're going to buy in.
Yeah.
But more importantly, again, it just shows the rest of the industry. We're not going to be Tulane or South Florida in this. Right, we're not going to go find the next up and comer. We know what this guy's going to do here. He's proven.
I would say to Memphis, I would say don't spend that money on Dan Mullen thinking that you're going to necessarily get it back in season tickets. Do it because you believe in it. Right,
right.
Because there's a good chance like you may not make it back. It is Memphis
football.
Right. You believe in it. I mean, you know this is a 1 or 2 year run, right? Maybe
right.
three tops
right.
before he's out of here.
Right.
And so
right.
my point
right.
would be
right.
season
right.
ticket juice coming with.
No,
that
I think there would
is
be
a
some,
perk because you already know this ain't to last. This ain't to have Dan Mullen forever.
I would do it not for season tickets. I would do it for exactly what you said because I am going to make the absolute most out of these next 3 years, and Memphis is going to be in the playoff.
I have to.
I am doing this because I believe that we are going to make the playoff under Dan Mullen for three. The next 3 years.
Yes.
That's why I'm doing it. I'm
yes.
not doing it for season tickets. I'm doing it because I believe he's a coach to lead us right now and take us really to that place that we have never been, right? That's why 100%. I do it.
That should be the priority.
And then if that happens.
And what comes with it will be season
right.
tickets and everything else.
Exactly.
I'm just going to tell you, my gosh, it's going to start from the get-go.
I hope
there's going to be so much buy-in on this.
But if I was doing it, my main priority for and my reasoning for doing it would be because I think he's the coach to take us to the playoff. That would be the – and I think with – and now – Mm-hmm. Whereas with Jerry Mack and
well,
and,
he gets the one, he's out. You realize that.
Oh,
one
for sure.
Next year, he's out.
And that's fine.
And that's fine. That's what
that's
I'm
totally
saying.
Fine.
That's fine.
That's it was worth it to me probably, right?
100%.
Because I think I'm going to make some money for making the playoff.
What?
I'm going to make millions for making the playoff.
And that's what I'm telling y'all. The how short this would be could end up benefiting you because then you can come around, see what Jerry Mack has done, see what Huff has done.
Exactly.
You can come back around on these guys. You know, they're still going to be young enough to come back. And you're going to want to keep your brand hot. Those guys will have further proven themselves. And, you know,
right.
I just, to me, it's worth going all in, and this is really, truly
yeah.
all in,
yeah,
rather
is.
Than just talking
it,
the talk,
totally
to
is.
Brad's point. You're
it
walking
totally
the walk, and you're saying it to Tulane, South Florida. No, man, we ain't y'all.
Well,
in terms of what we're willing to do here.
Well, Memphis is going to have to show that because they have not, and this will be their way to do that. And
separate yourself.
I'll be interested to see what Dan Wilkin thinks about that. I mean, look, we're not just making Dan Mullen's name up. He is second on the list
that's
of Cal
worth talking about.
You know, he's only 7% behind Jerry Mack here. So it's
well,
not
the other
like
thing
we're
about
just...
is right now he's not unlike Stein. Right, he's not on any other boards as of this time. Right,
correct.
You're saying perhaps it happens at Penn State. Or no?
No, no.
Penn
it would be, it
no,
would, it
not,
would be
not
the domino
to,
if Jeff
the domino
Brom
effect
took it.
If Brom
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
So we ain't worried about them on, you know, elsewhere.
That's right.
A little bit different.
That's right. All right, we'll come back. Dan Wilkins is going to join us at 12:25. We'll get his thoughts on the Memphis search and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I turn to film ESPN. Dan Wilkins is going to join us in about 15 minutes and tell both of you guys why you're outrageous to think that Dan Mullen's coming to Memphis.
Oh, yeah. You'll jump off the ship real fast.
Will,
if Dan,
I'm ready.
Like,
I'm ready.
I already know.
Well, I'm going to be honest.
I know how you do.
What I've learned in coaching searches is that the things that you want to happen never happen.
Yep.
Like, it's very rare that that is the way they go. Like, you see how excited Brett is? The universe is like, no, this guy's way too excited for this. He can't possibly get Dan Mullen at Memphis. Like, what's the last coaching search where it was like, oh, man, thank God they hired the guy that I really wanted to hire?
I hate to say it, but it was Ryan.
You know, it was really Chicago getting Norvell. Ben Johnson. Chicago.
Oh, I can go outside of college football.
But yeah, but I mean, like,
of course,
the one
it's Ben Johnson.
You're a fan of.
I mean,
and Johnson's
he was the one everybody wanted. Right, we were saying, please, please, please be us. And then we went out and paid and made it happen.
That's very rare.
And
that
my
it worked
Lord,
out that well.
Look at the difference. It is. There is a good question about whether he's coached the year of Vrabel, but we can revisit that later. That's not what this is about.
Right. No.
They've essentially done the same thing.
But I think what you guys have to do is, I think you have to play it a little cooler than you're playing it right now. Like, you got to like just be like, yeah, you know, if it happens, it's a great thing, you know, but I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket, right? Because then
I'm trying to buy season tickets. That's all I'm trying to do.
I'm excitable. I get excited about stuff.
Hope brings.
It's the only way I can live. It's how I do my day. It's
the possibility of this level.
How do you live with the disappointment when it inevitably
I move
comes
to the next exciting thing, and I get excited about it.
I just am not going to put all my eggs in the Dan Mullen basket for Memphis. I think it's a long shot. I like the idea.
Love it.
I'm not asking you to. I'm not predicting this will happen. You seem to be separating yourself. I'm not putting all my eggs into Memphis will go get Dan Mullen. I'm saying this is your best idea,
right,
which you seem to agree with.
No, I do agree.
Yeah, whether they do it or not, right. I'm not predicting the outcome here.
Right, right.
If I was doing that, I would predict they don't go that way.
Right.
Well, because that's been the Memphis way, and yet where's that gotten you?
Very true.
That's what I would ask of your athletics history.
That's very true.
You know.
Now, you know, if you go back to when Silverfield was hired, right? Like, we would have probably, and I'm just going to throw this out there, if Dan Lanning had been the hire in 2019,
yeah,
we would have probably said about that name, I don't know about that one. Like, he's, you know, Georgia defensive coordinator, but, like, what's he really about? Like, what's he? And obviously, like, he is one of the, you know, best young coaches in the entire sport. So,
yeah, I mean, still, in Georgia, D.C.
Yeah.
And we would have got up for that around here.
That's, you know, I mean, I think that's probably fair. I mean, I think we would have been excited. I don't think it would have meant, you know, a rush of season tickets by any stretch of the imagination.
I think my thing was sort of like we're saying about coordinators right now is you questioned, okay, well, is he going to be able to run it, you know, as a former
right
coordinator?
Right.
Whereas our argument with Ryan, and I just hate that, you know, at this point, you look at history. That said, look at Ryan, he got the job. He knows it. He's going to continue the standard because he's been a part of the standard. And, oh, by the way, here's the other thing we really lauded. He's killed it in recruiting. Remember the Nashville pipeline and all that? Remember how Ryan, back as an assistant, was killing it, helping get 4 stars? Oh, my guy, the offensive lineman.
TJ Carter, Obinna-Eze.
Yep. And we said, my gosh, he doesn't just know the inner workings, but he's also been a pretty good recruiter, which he continued to be, to his credit.
He was that.
But there was a little bit of a difference there. In terms of how we would have weighed Lanning and Silverfield, and we would have said, well, he knows that you're taking less of a chance.
Right.
Less of a risk here. And we said, you got to keep your brand hot.
Right.
He ends up lowering it. I mean, even though he did a quote-unquote good job.
Yeah. I mean, the program was hotter then than it is now.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, so that's what I'm, you know, like.
The burn has been turned down.
In some ways, the most important hire for Memphis Athletics was that one. When coming off a Cotton Bowl,
coming off
of 3 straight conference championship games, you know. And it wasn't a bad hire. It wasn't a disastrous hire. But it wasn't a good one. I don't think we'd say it was a good one. But, again, it doesn't really matter because now you have a new lease on life and an opportunity to make it
right. It's an absolute blessing. And I think another reason why you should take advantage of the blessing, take the big step as opposed to, hey, we'll just continue to do what we do since we've been blessed in this way.
Right.
You know, that we didn't think was possible, didn't think was going to happen. You go out and you make a splash. But I want to make it clear, I'm not predicting this will happen. I say this is what the plan should be.
It just spiritually.
You should separate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it does.
No, I think that's a good
idea.
And
that's with all due respect. Keep in mind, I like Jerry Mack. I like Huff. That's with all due respect to what those guys have accomplished.
Right.
I just feel like at this can't miss time, most important hire ever, you go get a proven Dan Mullen, man, that thing's over there shaking, those phones ringing off the hook. You got a fire burning over there the moment you announce it.
And I'll say this, like, just for the you know, for the University of Memphis, that schedule for the next coach is going to be tough that first year. And that's, I think Silverfield would have left anyway, but, you know, it's a lot of road games in the league. You got to go to Boise State. Like, I mean,
well, I ain't worried about it, the league next year.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
But I mean, South Florida will have something in terms of its invested.
Yeah.
Whether it's its coach or its roster, Tulane will as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we should have as much of an advantage as anybody, especially you go get. That's another reason to get a head coach.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say.
Players.
That's what I was going to say. It's like it's almost like
set you apart.
It's almost imperative that you bring in a head coach who can bring some players because.
Some of those games going to be on the road. To your point, because you had all of them here.
Yes.
So yeah, a little tougher there. What's your non-con? I know we go back to this every time.
Arkansas State.
Yes.
Home at Boise, UT Martin.
See, that Boise game going to be big. You're going to need to win that.
Yeah.
Because Boise could be back next year and right back in the CFP contention.
And then
as a Pac-12 member. And so you need to, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know.
More reason to get down.
The opponents in the American for next year, Army, Temple, East Carolina, UAB, those are the home games. You're at Navy, you're at Tulane, you're at Charlotte, and you're at South Florida. So you're at all the hard teams. You know, and I guess at home you have certainly winnable games against Temple and UAB. East Carolina, you know, we saw what can happen there. You'll probably be favored. But, yeah, I mean, I just think it could be a 7-5 season if, you know, 6-6 season if you get the wrong coach. And I just think that's one that fans will not be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, if you're – not a coordinator can put together a roster, but, man, in this day and age, like, I just think it's really important for the next coach to hit the ground running. You know, like – let's go. You know, no, all gas, no brakes. And I think a coordinator, a first-time head coach, is just by the nature of the way this thing works now, is going to be behind the eight ball because you're not bringing a roster with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not in the same way that a head coach is.
And maybe it's not even a full roster, but it's like if you bring 25 players, right?
Yeah, you got a core,
a quarterback, a running back.
It's so much less work.
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
you can focus your attention on other parts, your staff, and everything
that's
else,
right.
Getting those hires right as opposed to rushing.
You know, that is the you know, and Memphis has never had to make a hire since the transfer portal rules changed. This is like their first one in basketball or football, right? You know, back in the old days before the portal existed, like the coach couldn't take players, you know, and if he did, they'd have to sit out a year or whatever the case may be. You know, now it's a huge edge when a coach can promise, yo, I'm coming with dudes. I'm coming with guys now. So I just think it makes that adjustment to the first time, you know, head coach, it makes it even harder. Because I guarantee you, Tulane, South Florida, they're going to be trying to hire some head coaches.
Would this be Dan Mullen's first ever lie? He told the people of UNLV he's not leaving.
I don't know. Would it be
the first one he's ever told?
I don't.
If he left for Memphis?
Let me check.
Okay.
Yeah, just need a yes or no on that. Just ask ChatGPT, has Dan Mullen ever lied?
That's all we need to know.
Yeah. But no, I don't know.
Because if he's a man that's never lied...
What did he tell Mississippi State, right?
Moot.
Like, in that code, I don't remember it. But did he tell Mississippi State that, like...
I have no idea. That's what Brad would remember,
yeah.
The quotes.
I don't remember how he handled that coaching search, to be honest. So much has happened. But...
I'm really excited about the next head coach at Memphis.
Yeah.
If you buy him. We'll get a great deal on Brother Mac.
I think Rundown is sponsored, by the way, Brad. So let's hit that before we get to Dan.
Sorry, I thought we ran it.
But yeah, you got to take that plunge, right, Stuart Plum? You got to take that plunge and do something that you've never been willing to do, which is spend $4 million plus on a head coach. Memphis has never done it. I think the closest they got was like Tubby with like three something. I don't remember what the average was, but you got to do something you've never done if you really want to guarantee it. And I think Dan Mullen would be as close to a guarantee as you can.
We have breaking news. I got the results back from our inquiry.
Okay.
Jeffrey Simmons, in a 2019 interview, he lied to us. He straight up lied. Montez Sweat at the combine in 19. He told us he was coming back. Then he left the next day. Many Mississippi State players and fans still refer to him as Dan, I'm coming back Mullen, or simply Lion Dan. So
this is perfect.
We have a precedent, ladies and gentlemen.
This is what we wanted.
Montez Sweat, now a Chicago Bear. I trust him.
Well, we want Dan Mullen to have lied before, right? No, that's the point.
We needed him to be a liar.
And that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We want Dan to be comfortable with lying.
Yep.
That was the point of the take. That was the point of the question.
You're lying, Dan.
He has told UNLV folks he is not leaving.
Breaks my heart.
He will have no problem coming to Memphis if the dollars are right.
For $5 million in a $3.5 million buyout.
We've established that there are some who say he is a liar.
Well, I think five is a little more than we're willing to go.
I think we're not going higher than four and a half.
We're starting at four, John, because we got all these resources.
I just got a text.
Well, you were bragging at ESPN about how great our facilities are. You were basically saying they're better than Florida's.
Yep.
When you went analyst route with ESPN, we're giving you all of this. You're going to be here 1 year, Dan, because you're going to the freaking college football playoff. So come on for four. It's a raise up. You got all these resources. It's going to feel like a raise. We'll pay all your assistants.
Yeah.
Because they got to get paid.
Pool's higher. Higher pool.
You know, you got this higher pool that we got to take care of so we can get you to four. Hell, we were paying Ryan 2.2 last year, coach. You know, we have that's my point. Take us at four, not four and a half. You're asking us to go way up here.
Well, yeah,
We had to buy you out $4 million. We had to pay you an LV $4 million.
Not my problem.
Come on here.
Not my problem,
dude. You do it because normal people in Memphis are saying they would buy season tickets if you did it.
I feel like the University of Memphis is threatening me here if I don't take this job.
Unfortunately, now for me,
I know.
It's going to be a little bit disappointing.
It's same.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I know. It is.
Because this, we have established, is the best plan.
What I was going to say earlier is the Will Stein, I know he's taking Kentucky, but that vibe of a coaching hire, you need that vibe for this hire. It needs to be the vibe of a Dan Mullen, the vibe of a, they pulled that. Yeah. Okay.
Stein would have brought excitement.
Yeah.
There's no question.
He's hot. That's what you need.
Mullen will bring more than Stein would.
He would. Facts.
Enjoy Jerry Mack.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Mack.
Yeah.
Tell us about Jerry, AD Ed Scott.
He's a good man. Yeah, he is a great man who's done it at all
he's
levels.
He's just next to Dan Mullen. He is not nearly as excited.
He was at Kennesaw.
We're all going to be nodding our heads as they tell us, and Jerry, you know, he gives us the press conference speech, and he gives us what he's going to do. We're all going to be nodding our heads because we're going to be falling in love. We're going to be liking him. Yeah.
We're getting the Kennesaw roster, though, Jason. We're not getting.
Kennesaw was pretty good.
Yeah, but
last year. I mean, I actually watched them, and I'm like, good Lord, they got some players down there.
Yeah.
Do you remember, though, how the people flowed to Penny's opening press conference, though, and the level of excitement that was in there?
Bubbling.
That is what would happen getting Dan Mullen.
That red Kangol hat you had on?
Folks, I would this time wear, you know, I'd go whatever opposite is. Yes. And either
way. I'm just giving you the business.
But point being, the place would be like that, man.
Yeah.
That level of excitement.
Yeah.
That's what Dan Mullen would do here.
Yeah.
October 21st, I watched the game against Florida International. They won 45-26. They got two quarterbacks down there.
Oof.
All right, they got two of them things, and both were awesome. Both in that game. So you just bring one. I think you'll be fine.
Another perk of getting Dan.
We'll talk to Dan Wolkin about this. Get his thoughts on the Memphis football search. How realistic Dan Mullen might be. What direction he would go. What's it like about Jerry Mack, other candidates, all that and more on the other side. Stick around, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Dan Wolkin is a senior writer at Yahoo, covers college sports, Olympics. I know he's excited about that, Winter Olympics coming up, tennis, and more. But today, we're gonna put him in charge of the Memphis football coaching search. He joins us now. Dan, what's happening, man?
I just saw your boy Paul Feinbaum is not going to run for Senate, so I guess you'll be able to keep having him on, so that's good news.
Yeah, that is good news. Yeah. We were worried we were going to lose him. There's no question about that. So I did not see that. I wonder how that will go over at ESPN, considering that, you know, that all got out. Either way, a lot to get to today, Dan. Lots of hirings, lots of movement in college football. But let's just start with Memphis. This morning, the prediction market, Kalshi, put up odds on the next Memphis football coach. And right now, it basically just, according to their projections, it seems like a two-horse race. Jerry Mack, a 40% favorite, followed by UNLV's Dan Mullen at 33%. Based on what you've heard, based on what you know, does that jive with what you've heard about the direction of this search for Memphis?
Well, nobody's told me this, and obviously this is happening in a relatively short span of time since Silverfield announced that he was going to Arkansas. I don't know if the Mullen thing is real or not. I tend to not really believe it just based on the fact that you know, Dan's been pretty adamant that he was going to be at UNLV next year, and I don't think he really spent a lot of time entertaining coaching carousel stuff. And also, if you leave UNLV, is Memphis the next step up? I'm not sure that's the case. I mean, yes, Memphis is a better situation than UNLV football-wise for a lot of different reasons. But, like, I think Dan Mullen's in a position at UNLV where if he stays next year, they have another good year, he's probably getting back in a Power 2 job, you know, an SEC or a Big Ten job, I would think. So I just don't know if that one really makes a lot of sense for me. Jerry Mack, obviously, is super sensible, just kind of given his ties to the city, his current situation, and the level of success he's had. And I'm sure they've got some other people in the mix. Honestly, I think there's probably a lot of good assistants to look at as well. I think they have a pretty blank canvas.
Just on the Mullen discussion, and maybe it's not much of one because, again, Memphis would have to pay $4 million to buy him out, and then you got to pay him more than the $3.5 million he's making. You were paying Ryan $2.2 million, even though that contract eventually was going to get to $2.8 million, $2.9 million. I'm just curious, Dan, if you did decide, in the way that you sort of, and this is what I've used to frame it, that spirit that you had when you said Big 12, here's between $200 and $250 million, take us, right? No strings attached. Like, we're serious. We're not a Group of Five program. We're a power structure program. Here's the money. If you took that sort of spirit, just what you would get, you agreed it's a better situation. I think college football playoff access for him is better at Memphis next year than from his spot in a weakened Mountain West. Just, you're right. Dan's probably still attractive if he's at UNLV and doing it again next season, but how much more attractive is he if he's got the brand hot at Memphis with its investment level and he's in the hunt for a CFP?
Oh, yeah. Look, that's a real conversation that you could have and that maybe he and his people are having. I just think, like, given where he is in his life and his career, you know, he started out very young when he was the head coach of Mississippi State. And I was out there earlier this season, and I talked to him about that and sort of the grind of you combine the Mississippi State plus the Florida. Like, that's a lot of years in the SEC in just a super, like, high-pressure environment. And, you know, now he is in a situation where he lives literally on one of the best golf courses in the country or one of his favorite golf courses. I don't know. He was raving about the golf course. Like, you know, Vegas is kind of a I'm not sure that it would be for everybody, but, like, for a couple years and the age of his kids, I don't know. Like, I just think it would take something really interesting and unique to get him to pick up and move again. But I don't know. Like, I just – maybe I'm wrong, and, like, they should certainly go check in and see if he's interested because he's a great football coach. But I just don't know, to me, on the surface, that just doesn't look or feel like something that would happen.
Let's talk about Jerry Mack, because I think a lot of people, you know, in the Memphis area are probably not spending much time watching Kennesaw State. I actually caught a Kennesaw State game this year because I was betting on it. That's the only reason. And I got to say, I was like, damn, this Kennesaw State, they're like, they got like two quarterbacks. They're airing it out. I didn't know anything about Jerry Mack, but I'm like, you know, now that I think about it, it was the FIU game where they put up 45. The offense looked great in that game. What kind of, like, from what you know of him, and I don't know how much you know of him, but what makes him successful, you know, at that level?
I really couldn't tell you much about it, to be honest with you. It's probably, like, a demerit for me that I live in Atlanta, and I just have not really made a lot of connection with anything going on at Kennesaw State.
That's not a good, you know, that's not a good endorsement for Jerry Mack at Memphis, Dan. I got to tell you that you didn't care enough.
Well, let me put it this way. Like, I just have a lot of other stuff going on. And, you know, I probably should have taken a day at some point this season to, like, pop up to Kennesaw and just poke my head in and say, hey, Jerry Mack, what's the deal? Like, why are you good at this job? I did not do that. I have a friend who's a big Kennesaw State booster, which is interesting. he played football there like many, many years ago. And he thinks he's a really good coach. But that's all the intel I've got. You know, he's been there 1 year, and it's a program that is, you know, made the move up from FCS, which is always difficult. What kind of competition is in Conference USA right now? Like, I don't really have a good pulse of that. It's almost like an FCS league in some ways.
Right.
But to come in and like turn it around in 1 year is super impressive. And that's the kind of thing that if you're hiring for a job like Memphis, you look at, because in the way the business is now, it's not a 4 and 5 year rebuild of programs, and Memphis really doesn't need to be rebuilt.
See, that's the thing, is that it's not, I like Jerry Mack. It's not a head turner. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the thing that it does. It's like, oh, that's a good hire for Memphis. Whereas Memphis, with all the statements that it's made and the offer that it made to the Big 12, is seemingly saying that, you know, we're different. You know, and I just think that's more of a – back to your point, I mean, this is historically what Memphis has done, right? Closer to going after a Jerry Mack than making some big splash like buying out Dan Mullen. But if this is the most important hire in this athletic department's history, and Dan, we've used sort of your article, it was you I was reading, you know, that we've used it to frame everything, why you can't miss on this hire, because in what, Dan, 2030, the contracts end, these talks, if they're going to happen, realignment, 28, 29, I mean, that was straight from your piece, and so my point has always been, you've been blessed here. Ryan got out, right? There's a chance to, you know, Arkansas blessed you. There's a chance here to really hit it big, and you need to get the brand as hot as possible so that Dan, if there's ever a chance that you're going to get pulled up, right, that you have taken every possible option, you have checked all boxes in terms of trying to get there, and we know it's got to be with that football program out front.
Yeah, you're right about that, Jason, but I think the thing you've got to think about institutionally, And I think this is very, very important, is when you're at the level of a Memphis, you're in the American Conference, do you want someone who's on their way up or on their way down? And I'm not saying Dan Mullen's on his way down, okay? But Dan Mullen has been at the top level. Are his best years in coaching in front of him or behind him?
That's fair. Yeah.
I don't know if I can answer that question. I think you're better off always having somebody in a job like Memphis that is really on their way up, that is going to, you know, absolutely work their butt off in recruiting, in fundraising, who's not going to come in and kind of think they're like, you know, above the job or a little too good for the job because they've been in the SEC or whatever. People get really caught up on the names and the faces and the people they know, and I totally understand that. But, like, for instance, like, just look at what Michigan State did with Pat Fitzgerald. And I'm not saying it's a bad hire. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know. But, like, Pat Fitzgerald's last 4 years at Northwestern were not very good, except for the COVID year, which was wackadoo, and everybody knows that year doesn't really count. And it was in an era before, you know, the portal was really important, right? Before NIL was really important. So what's the archetype? What's the prototype of what's going to succeed in Memphis? Like, I think somebody who is going to know how to allocate resources, because they're going to have more resources to spend on their roster than other teams in the league. Somebody who, you know, is really adept in the portal stuff. Like, I just think you have to look at the characteristics of what's going to make the Memphis program successful and what kind of person has exhibited those characteristics or projects those characteristics as they move into a head coaching job. And, again, I think it could be a coordinator. It could be a special teams coach. Like, I wouldn't box yourself in. I just think hiring somebody on the way up is critically important.
I agree. And the point I made before you got on was that if Memphis had hired Dan Lanning in 2019, you know, it would have been met with, I don't think a groan, but I certainly don't think we would have had a parade down Beale Street for that hire. And obviously Dan has gone on to be, you know, one of the premier coaches, young coaches in the entire sport. With that being said, Dan, you mentioned coordinator, special teams coach. Memphis has not had to hire a coach since the world changed. They have not had to hire a coach since NIL became a thing, and they have not had to hire a coach since the transfer portal, you know, rules all went away. If we all agree that the next 3 to 4 years for Memphis are just as urgent as they could possibly be for getting to the other side of this thing with you know, the power structure, can you afford, you know, 2 years for a rebuild with a coordinator? In other words, like, a head coach brings a roster. Like, would that weigh into the decision for you at all?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the number one factor, but even a coordinator, though, who might be attached to a quarterback or something like that, is worth thinking about if that's what you feel your program needs. I think every coach, though, at this point is going to come with some type of in with certain players, with certain transfers, because they've all been working the portal and tampering, if we're just going to be honest about it, all season long. They've all been doing it all season long. They all know who's going to be in the portal. They know who's going to be potentially available to come with them. So,
with all of the, Dan, the American coaches, four of them that have left for the P4 jobs, right? I mean, yeah, American, like a prove it ground and come on to the P4 if you can do it well. I'm curious, which one of those, more Silverfield, Sumrall, Golish, do you like the fit the best?
It's a good question. I think probably the best fit is going to be Sumrall. I think he will. And again, I don't know how good of a coach he is. I don't know how good any of these guys are, like, in the context of where they're going. But Florida's obviously a program that's set up for some success. They haven't had it lately, and it's maybe not quite as good of a job as some people think it is. But, you know, Sumrall, as much as Florida fans were upset about, well, we just got another G5 guy from Louisiana, same as the last guy. That's silly. Like, they're different people,
yep.
Different characteristics, different circumstances. I mean, from what I've seen, like, I think Sumrall will probably be successful. The Golish thing gives me some pause because I just don't know stylistically, like, that offense over the long haul in the SEC is what is going to work. Even at Tennessee, where he came from and where Josh Heupel is still doing pretty well, like, they've evolved that offense significantly. They're not just straight up, like, playing the way South Florida plays. I think you get away with playing that way in a league like the American, where teams don't have nearly as much depth and not as much athleticism. But in the SEC, I just don't think that, you know, this run up to the line of scrimmage, spread you out, snap the ball, I just don't know if that's a real way to win championships.
Talking to Dan Wilkin, who, are you on the way to Kennesaw State, by the way? Are you driving there now? This is your last chance to catch up.
I am in the car. I am not going. I'm not Kennesaw bound. I generally try not to go that far from the city, but it is a good hike from, like, where I live in Atlanta. It's a good 35-40 minutes out there, so I'm not generally heading out to Kennesaw State, but maybe I need to dial in this weekend for the championship game.
That's right. Obviously, that we talked about the Lane Kiffin debacle the last time we had you on. I think we all expected it to end badly. It ended even uglier than I think even most people expected it would end, with the arguments over who's going to stay back at staff and Keith Carter and everything that went on. How could that have been done differently? Where do you come down on Lane and just how ugly that all got?
Could it have been done differently? To put it mildly. I hate it. It actually kind of personally offends me that he would just sort of do this with a team that was going to the college football playoff. And look, I understand there's other things that are happening with Sumrall and Eric Morris and, you know, maybe even Kalani Sitake being in talks with Penn State. I get that. But, you know, Ole Miss, there's no hypotheticals. Like, they're in. And they have a chance. Like, they're, you know, the sixth or seventh ranked team in the country. They could easily make a semifinal or potentially even a final, play for a national championship. Like, to me, it's just you've worked your entire career and your tenure at Ole Miss to build a team that looks like this. And yet now you're going to LSU to say, well, yeah, I'm going there because I can build a team at LSU that can be like the team I just had this year at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I don't know if other coaches would have been in that situation, if they would have taken the job even, or maybe just waited for another year, a better time. Sometimes timing in life just doesn't work out. I think Lane has got a lot of psychological things going on. I think there's a lot of there's always a lot of stuff around him and with him, and you know, so you could even say maybe he's just one of these guys who like always is striving for that top success, and yet when it stares him in the face, maybe it scares him a little bit, you know, and he's like almost like running away from it. You know, that's sort of the way I'd psychoanalyze it. And look, yeah. LSU is probably a little easier to win a title, but we've seen in this era just things are different than the way it was rolling at Ole Miss, the amount of money they were putting in. I didn't feel like this was going to be the last time they were going to have a shot to make the college football playoff. So I don't know.
Do you feel like with him, and I mean, we've seen him, you know, it's a bunch of different places over the 14, 15 years of being coach. That at some point, Nick Saban once left LSU, right, to try the NFL. Hey, I want to go see if I can be a pro coach. Do you think that's in Kiffin's future with it, with what his dad did, that he sort of come back to college football? Hey, maybe I'll win a national championship at LSU. Is he that guy? Is he Nick Saban at LSU, and he goes like Saban did at Alabama and wins a ton of them? Or do you think Nick will move? I mean, excuse me, Lane will move. He'll win one or two at LSU and then go try to be a pro coach and sort of revamp his reputation there.
I think Lane is much too restless just as a personality type to be somewhere for 10 or 12 years. Like, I just don't think that's in him. I'm sure he'll have success at LSU. Maybe he'll win a national title, but by like year five, year six, he'll start getting antsy.
Next thing.
And he'll try to figure out what the next thing in his life is. And it probably is the NFL, you know, I think he'll win and maybe a national championship in the next 3 or 4 years. That's certainly on the table. But I just don't see him being like a dynasty type of coach.
Me either.
Dan, great stuff as always, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for hopping on with us and breaking it down, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
Yep. Here's Dan Wilkin from Yahoo Sports. Appreciate him coming on. And look, I don't think he completely you know, shot down the Dan Mullen thing. I mean,
he gets my point. I think he questions something that I certainly can't analyze, and
right.
It's the want to of Dan Mullen.
Absolutely right.
You know, he brings up a good point. Having already done it, do you come in thinking that the world owes you here at Memphis, or are you ready to go to work? His point about, you know, Memphis needing somebody who's going to hit the ground running, work, is hurt. That's where I'm at. That's the urgency level it needs to be. And if Dan thinks, oh, you know what, I can coach him up.
Right.
You know, I'll get some guys and I'll coach him up. And that's just his way now. I don't know. My thing would be, well, isn't he trying to rebuild sort of like Lane on the comeback? And so maybe you're catching him on the come up, but in a different way the second time around. And if you look at UNLV, I mean, maybe there's some questions about what he brought in. He's clearly coached it up, but that looks to me like a guy who's hungry again. Now, maybe he's not. Maybe it just works out there. He's getting the players he wants. He can be on the golf course like Dan talked about, you know, like we've talked about.
Yep.
And that's important to him, a little piece before he goes to get the next job. But if you're trying to get the next job, mm-hmm. like Dan mentioned it, he thought even maybe power two.
Right. It is the power two now.
Don't you have to be somewhat? Don't you have to be somewhat hungry? Don't you have to be somewhat? Don't you have to show folks and sort of fight back on the reputation that you're this guy that doesn't, you know, doesn't roll up his sleeves when it comes to recruiting or getting down in the cracks? You don't want to do that stuff. I mean, that's to me what I thought we were getting with Dan Mullen 2.0 here,
mm-hmm.
is the Lane sort of turnaround. Hey, I'm going to go prove it again. I'm hungry again.
Yep.
If it's that guy, I want him. If it's the guy Dan's talking about, then no, you don't go pay all that money
yep.
for that guy. Is going to come in here and think the world owes him because he's already been an SEC
coach.
That's
true.
So if that's the difference for me, the differentiator.
Yep.
And I'd want to know that in an interview if I ever got past
100%.
You know, whether or not buyout's possible and all that stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Good stuff though. Good stuff from Dan Wolkin, and you know, we'll see what happens with the numbers and the projections. That, you know, I'll be watching.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, good stuff from Dan. Frank Bonner's going to join us at 1:25. We'll get his thoughts on the Memphis football coaching search. You know, rostered, you know, who's going, who's staying, like how many, you know, assistants is Ryan Sorfield going to take to Fayetteville. We'll get into all that with Frank, in the third hour. Stick around. J&J 90.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fam ESPN.
Leaders Credit Union, come join the family. Faith and I have done so. We've got a future Leaders savings account set up for little Chris. We're part of the family. What's Leaders? They're a non-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members. Means it operates for our benefit as members. 70,000 plus of them here in West Tennessee and growing. Got the new branch up and operating out in Arlington. I use the Bartlett branch, and they've been great to us, and they'll be great to you. You can save while you spend with a Compass Black credit card. It is Christmas time. Check the accounts with the holiday season. You know what comes with that, the presents, the hosting, everything else you got to do. You want to earn while you spend? Open a Compass Black credit card with Leaders to enjoy 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. No annual fees or limits. To learn more, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Again, that's leaderscu.com/ESPN to see all they can do for you. Leaders is your financial champion for life and federally insured by NCUA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people.
and off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.